and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Mary Jo Kilroy, Democrat of the great state of Ohio. Pardon me.
Yes.
On the Celebrity Hotline. And comedian John Fugelsang, our buddy, our pal, joins us live in the studio. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all. Their executive producer, Chris, the voice deity, Jim Ward, who will be getting a retention bonus shortly for getting us on Newsbusters with his incredibly politically incorrect Child Max bit about celebrities adopting black children. Okay. Good job, Jim. Good job. Good job. Here you go.
I blame Ambien. It's sleep writing. Yeah. You never know what's going to strike you funny at 3:30 in the morning.
I haven't read it yet, but apparently they have sussed out liberal bias in liberal radio yet again. Woo-hoo!
I don't know if they've sussed out liberal bias.
Not liberal bias.
Yeah, you really haven't read that,
have you?
That's
what they
normally do. They're
probably
calling us hypocrites.
Well, I think we've mentioned this before, that this is not easy to do what we do here.
Right.
We have a show that is too liberal for conservatives and too politically incorrect for liberals.
Right.
And appeals to, theoretically, absolutely
nobody.
Yeah. And that's not easy to do.
Except other people on Ambien.
Exactly. We're a little island of misfit toys here. Okay, but you know what we do have?
We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits. What's the matter with misfits? That's where we fit in.
Okay. Guess what we do have? We have a window with a view of the Tonight Show line waiting to see Barack Obama tonight.
That's right.
That is longer than the Jonas Brothers line. That is...
It is. It is longer than the Jonas... It's like all the way out to Alameda. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not the town, the street.
The street.
At insane o'clock in the morning out here.
Yeah.
Don De Los, yikes. All right.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, they wave back. Maybe they're listening down
there. Howdy do.
Hey, give us a call, 1-800-STEP-12.
Everybody?
Is it raining where you are? No, it's not. We can see from here.
Okay. Can I just say, the president, if you agree or not, he's a good communicator. When he was out, he was out here in California at a town hall, explaining stuff, and it's hot out here too.
Excuse me, I'm choked up with anger here.
Can I just say something? You make me so hot when you're angry.
I am so frustrated with this banking situation. So hot and we have so many nice ladies here. So they're really hot. There's a woman named
Stephanie Miller.
Oh. All right, and I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take off my jacket if you guys are hot.
It's awful hot.
These folks have been in the light, so they're really hot. Okay. And I am so frustrated with this banking situation.
Cause I feel like busting loose, and I feel like touching you.
It's awful hot.
Can't nobody stop the juice, so baby, tell me what's the use. I say
it's hot.
It's getting hot in here. So hot, so
I'm
gonna fall
in. It's awful hot.
I want to take mine off, too, but it's a lady's turn. I want to take mine off, too, but it's a lady's turn.
I just love you. Okay.
It's a man's turn, and he's got the last, this gentleman, because he's big, and I don't want him to be mad at me. Sanchez.
Sanchez and Montebello sent that to us,
that's
our
great
buddy, our pal. Oh,
fun with editing.
Fun with audio editing. All right. We have one more day to a vacation.
Yes.
Oh. Mama and the Mooktones will be on vacation next week. Frangela will be in for your listening pleasure.
Yes, indeedy.
Where's my retention bonus?
It's right here. It's an extra package of emergency.
Whee!
Good job. All right. Thanks for getting us some ink, Jim. All right. So I can't tell you where I'm going on vacation, but it's hot. It's going to be awesome. I'll tell you about it when I get back. Okay.
The mind reels.
That piques your interest, doesn't it? Okay.
Is there nudity involved?
There may be. I'll tell you when I get back.
You're going to a nudist camp, aren't you?
Yes.
That's yes.
No. All right. An aroused elephant left a British holidaymaker feeling inadequate, according to one travel agent. There are bizarre vacation grievances. They've done a study of bizarre vacation grievances. Concerns about the sand being too white, anger at too many fish being in the sea, and feelings of inadequacy after seeing an aroused elephant were among the most bizarre complaints made by British holiday goers. Using research for the British Travel Agents Association, they compiled a list of the 20 most ridiculous complaints received by tour operators. Among the more jingoistic grievances, too many Spanish people being in Spain, and too much curry served in restaurants in India.
Aha.
Good job, you morons. All right. Listener Mark in Seattle wants to tell me about a beaver exclusion device. This is for our beaver stack. Dear Stephanie, I work with a group of ecologists. This is technically Science Stack. Who help restore streams and wetlands that have been degraded by past development. Among the challenges we face are ravenous beaver. who nibble away at the tender young bark of saplings planted in the restored habitat, oftentimes gnawing them right off at the base.
Oh, that's
not funny now, is it? Mm-hmm, it's only funny until you lose a... to prevent these attacks, we install what's known as a beaver exclusion device. around each new tree, constructed of stout wire mesh, it acts sort of like a reverse chastity belt, keeping the beaver away from the wood instead of vice versa. It does a splendid job of controlling beaver. Thank you for providing a forum for ecological findings such as this. I'd be very pleased if you would include my field report in the impressive volume that is your beaver stack. Thank you, Marty.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Okay. Eric in Ohio with some listener gamity. Hey, bitchy.
What?
That was yesterday. I ate a bowl of bitchy for breakfast yesterday.
You certainly did.
I am fine today.
All this week.
Shut up. Okay. Here are the top
Are you having some lady problems?
I'm having my lady time.
She needs beaver exclusion device.
Yes.
Eric writes, hey, bitchy, here are the top 10 ways the AIG executives should be punished for using our money to pay bonuses. Number 10, arm wrestle Michelle Obama. Go hunting, go hunting with Dick Cheney. Give Ann Coulter a sponge bath. Ooh.
Ew.
Marry Tom Cruise. Yikes. Serve on a jury with Chris. Oh, dear God. Come on. That's against
There are some very nice people on my jury, I'll have you know.
Oh, heavens. Co-star in a movie with Christian Bale. Count the votes in Minnesota. Walk Max. Attend a George W. Bush speech. And number 1, eat your cooking. Oh.
Oh.
Eric. You don't know.
Yeah, you're burned sauerkraut.
I don't burn it every time. Only when I'm drunk. Okay, let's check some news we don't want to lose.
She cooks with the telephone.
Do you deliver?
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stay Is Broken, our top story. Oh, no. New Jersey may ban genital waxing.
Oh,
no.
Heavens.
Come on. Things could get hairy in New Jersey this summer for the women who sport revealing bikinis. Or a little bit less. The painful Brazilian wax and its intimate derivatives are in danger of being stripped from salon and spa menus if a recent proposal to ban genital waxing is passed by the state's Board of Cosmetology and Hairstyling. Cherry Hill salon owner said women would go ballistic if the proposal passed. She said some women would resort to waxing themselves, visit unlicensed salons, or travel to other states, including Pennsylvania, in a quest to remain bare down there.
Does Pennsylvania do it better?
I don't know. I guess the
Nobody
Amish.
Does it better. Yeah.
It's a little known fact that the Amish are big.
Wow.
Big bikini waxers.
Yes.
Yes.
Very plain bikini. They wear very plain bikinis.
Yes, of course.
Full body bikinis, actually.
New Jersey statutes allow waxing of the face, neck, arms, legs, and abdomen. I guess New Jersey girls are.
Well.
They're a little furry. But officials say that genital waxing has always been illegal, although not spelled out. A spokesman for New Jersey's Division of Consumer Affairs said the proposal would specifically ban genital waxing and was prompted by complaints to the board from two women who were injured and hospitalized.
Oh, hospitalized? Oh,
that's, that's waxing gone awry there.
Yeah, it is.
Donde los yikes. When you need to be airlifted, something
Sounds
has gone...
more like a tarring and feathering situation.
Yikes. Wow, we have some guy that owns a Jersey salon, I believe.
Ladies... Has a recent decision by the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs to ban the Brazilian wax got you down? Forget about it. Hi, I'm Vinny from Cooter Rooters. If you're like me, you've got hair in places where you didn't know you had places. In my case, everywhere but my head. Let's face it. Those of us, shall we say, of Mediterranean descent can be a little hirsute. And there's only one T in that word, by the way.
Yeah!
You need to bring in the heavy artillery. Me, I shave six times a day. And there ain't no tweezers in the world strong enough to tame Madonna's unibrow. At Cooter Rooters, we got an Army surplus C-46 twin rotor helicopter that'll clear out an Amazonian rainforest quicker than you can say, "Stop breaking my..."
That's where the bleep comes in.
If that's not enough, I've got an Army surplus flamethrower to take out the stragglers. Oh, all right, campfire. All right. Then, as a final pampering treat, we cool the whole mess down with a big bowl of Spumoni, leaving your naughty place chilly, fresh, and fruity. So come on down to Cooter Rooters. Next time you have a Brittany moment, you can tell the paparazzi, "What are you looking at?" as you smile for the camera. Arrivederci.
I don't believe the name of that establishment was fully vetted.
Vetted. We're going to make newsmakers, or newsbusters again.
Again.
Come on, use that word 1,000 times.
And finally, the headline is, what would Jesus do on spring break? Good question.
Okay.
Kevin Roos on Salon.com writes, I went undercover with a group of evangelical Christians to try to convert drunk partygoers. God help me. The following is an excerpt from The Unlikely Disciple, a sinner's semester at America's holiest university. Could I have my organ, please, Chris? Thank you.
Oh, okay.
It's spring break in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hundreds of rowdy co-eds are packed into Froggy Saloon, where nubile blonde gyrates seductively on top of the bar, her belly button ring shimmering like a brass jig in the sun. Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls plays to wild cheers as a blonde fishes out bills out of an empty beer pitcher marked tips for... Oh, sorry, tips for... the second word.
You
tips
all-
for... When the blonde, who's maybe 18, removes her tube top to reveal a pair of star-shaped nipple shields, a short, demure college sophomore named Brandon holds his beach towel over his eyes. What? On his wrist, it's a...
He's got to be gay, then.
No, he goes to Jerry Falwell's university.
Oh.
On his wrist, it's a white Live Pure bracelet. Scott, our group leader, rubs Brandon's back. Satan is strong here, he says, but remember, every person is a person for whom Christ has died, whether they're wearing a lot of clothes or no clothes at all.
Rubbing his back, huh?
Still sounds gay.
Yeah. I'm here.
What?
His fellow evangelical was comforting him.
Oh, yes. I see. Okay.
To withstand the horrors of nipple shields.
Yeah, it still sounds really, really gay.
I'm here in Florida with a group of students from Liberty University, the Reverend Jerry Falwell's Bible Boot Camp for Young Evangelicals, but I'm not an evangelical. I transferred to Liberty to learn more about my conservative Christian peers. And when March rolled around, I decided to do what many Christian college students do over spring break, take a mission trip. He's on a mission.
He's going to get beat up. Seriously.
We have Evil Uncle Chuckles, the Reverend Jerry Fall. Or, I'm sorry. No. Yeah, Pat Robertson on this, I believe.
I'd like to thank my brothers and sisters in Christ from Liberty University for joining me tonight in our crusade to save the heathens from themselves. We're going to take our battle into the belly of the beast tonight. Daytona Beach, Florida. Froggy Saloon, where Satan's own playground known as Spring Break is taking place. Now, I have to warn you, young gentlemen, that the girls you'll see in this cauldron of filth are not the demure, chaste, virginal creatures you see at Liberty University studying home ec in their burkas. No, these will be leery, lascivious harlots gyrating and writhing and getting all sweaty in the hoo. I don't know what that means, but it surely involves baring their breasts and perhaps even their nipples.
Ew, itchy!
I see a hand. Yes, Brother Dobson.
Thank you, Reverend. I have an idea. I will lead all those sinners to the path of righteousness and take their minds off sin and lustfulness and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Here's my plan. I can get on the bar with the naked girls, take off my trousers, and show them my penis. Like this.
Well, you certainly know how to clear a room, I'll give you that. You may be onto something. It's hard to have lustful thoughts when you're sick to your stomach. In Jesus' name, I...
That's all for...
He upchucked in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's all for... talking to God on the big white telephone. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. You see, that was from James Dobson's actual website.
That's right.
As one of the tips to how to not raise a gay.
Gay kids, right.
Yes.
To show them your penis.
And show them, yeah.
All right, then. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Drawl.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a banner ad for it on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Boy, howdy. 21 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on AIG. Much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Wow-wee. This has happened, I think, at least twice now in an administration a month old that I don't think ever happened in 8 years of George Bush. The president took responsibility for something. He said the buck stops with him. We're not accustomed to that phrase from the last 8 years.
Well, maybe he should think about getting rid of Summers and Geithner.
Yeah, we said that yesterday.
Then he won't have to take responsibility for it. I don't know. This whole Chris Dodd brouhaha.
Yeah, Chris Dodd.
Explain that. Because yesterday that was a lot of people were calling Chris Dodd is the one that put in the language.
Yeah, during a live interview with CNN yesterday, he admitted that he was the one responsible for the language added to the federal stimulus bill.
But then they changed it again. He changed it, said that it was, where was
it? Well, he said the Treasury Department pushed for the language.
Right.
Because Dodd and the White...
Because he was afraid of lawsuits.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Said it was because administrations were afraid the government would face numerous lawsuits without the new language. Dodd said that the administration officials pushed for the language to an amendment designed to limit bonuses and golden parachutes at those companies. The administration had expressed reservations, Dodd said. They asked for modifications. The alternative was losing the amendment entirely.
And by the administration, he probably means Geithner.
Geithner.
Yeah. He said the grandfather clause language seemed like innocent modifications at the time. I agreed reluctantly. Dodd said I was changing the amendment because others were insistent. Others meaning Tim Geithner.
Tim Geithner and Larry Summers.
Yeah.
Later yesterday, Obama said, I will take responsibility. I'm the president. We didn't draft these contracts, but it is appropriate when you're in charge to make sure stuff doesn't happen like this, so we're going to do everything we can to fix it. Edward Liddy, did you see him yesterday? He called the bonuses distasteful. Like something bad in your mouth. It's a little worse than that for us.
It is a little worse.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
However, he's in charge of a really, really bad situation that he didn't cause.
Yeah, but well, we'll get to all that.
Yeah.
But the thing about them asking him to give half the bonuses back, no.
Yeah.
Give all.
Well, no,
all.
We would like all our money back. Oh, could you please, maybe those of you that got over this, give half? No.
And to some employees' credit, they've already given back some of the bonuses.
And we
applaud
them.
Yes, we do.
All right. And maybe Andrew Cuomo, Cuomo will find out who they are at some point.
Yeah.
28 minutes after the hour, right back with more on this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you little bitch troll from hell.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Daniela in New Mexico on the president. Daniela, you're 11?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Daniela.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? I bet you wish you were in this line out here for the Tonight Show waiting to see the president.
Yeah. My dad showed you your website, and I thought I should call you.
Okay. What did you want to say?
That I'm hopeful that Barack Obama will change the nation because Bush, like, really screwed up the economy.
You hope that he'll do what?
Change the nation because Miss George Bush was really bad to it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he was bad to it. And Barack Obama is fixing it now. Do you have siblings?
Brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Oh. Have you ever had to clean up after one of their messes?
Of course.
See, now you know what President Obama is up against. All right, Daniela, thanks for calling. Thanks. Off to school now. Love ya. Mean it.
Okay.
I believe that you are.
She gave me a little air kiss. She gave me a Hollywood mwah.
You really don't have children. No. A 10-year-old wouldn't know what siblings means.
Listen, I don't have to...
Do you have siblings?
I don't have time for these little ankle biters to grow up. Get a thesaurus or... All right. Jim Ward, he's in line for a retention bonus here at the Stephanie Miller newscast. Newsbusters now, as you recall, Chris.
Yes.
They're the right-wing dopes that got me all the publicity on my comment on Larry King.
Yeah.
In which I made it very clear that I was making a joke, that I said all this, what do you call it, the Rush Limbaugh controversy is only good for Rush.
Yes.
He loves this. I said if I could say something that would get that sort of attention, like maybe Rush should be executed for treason. And so Newsbusters and then all the other right-wing websites went insane.
Yes.
And so I was calling for Rush Limbaugh to be executed. And then I got millions of hate letters and death threats, ironically. It's the test of the moron alert system was it was going splendidly, and now they bit yet again.
Yes.
Jim got us some more ink. Parody. Oh, here's the breaking news. Oh, they're always very hysterical. It's always they use the siren too, like Drudge does in developing, and everybody pull over. Parody on liberal Stephanie Miller radio show mocks adoption of little black bookends and ebony accessory. They're not familiar with the parody, are they?
No.
Over at the Newsbusters. After the second wave of hysteria about Rush Limbaugh's Sharpton mocking Barack the Magic Negro parody, you might think that a liberal radio host making an insensitive skit about African orphan adoption might capture some media attention. In the first hour of the liberal Stephanie Miller show on Wednesday, parodyist Jim Ward. Oh, at least they figured that part out. Yeah. They understand that it's a parody of some sort.
So they maybe have a little bit of a sense of humor.
Had an ad for Child Max, mocking the Madonnas and Angelina Jolies who adopt a little black bookend and ebony accessory that's guaranteed not to cause intertribal massacre around the dinner table. Yes.
That's funny.
They helpfully quoted one of Jim's very funny lines. Which liberal watchdog will sound an alarm on this skit? Is there skit police?
Apparently.
Maybe we forgot. Maybe MoveOn.org has not added a skit police to their outfit yet.
Maybe Media Matters will give us some ink on this.
Okay, yeah, this is like the right-wing Media Matters.
Yeah, well, they try to be.
Or do they suspect this is a plea for publicity?
Computer says, yeah.
Yes, no. Dopes, you fell for it the last time. You're falling for it again, you big dopes.
They're like smacking their head into a tree over and over and over again.
It's like that right-wing tool congressman that I was just on the Fairness Panel Doctrine. He thought he was going to play gotcha. He read one of my quotes back to me,
mm-hmm.
where I said... I can't make nearly as much money on 60 stations as Sean Hannity can on 600. And he said, see, this is all about you making money. And I'm like, yes!
Computer says yes.
I'm not for the fairness doctrine. I'm for capitalism.
Yeah.
You big dope.
You want to make as much money as possible.
All right, Jim, here, you might as well read this since you're here. He's helpfully, Media Matters, they've actually posted the actual transcript.
It's not very accurate transcript, actually. So
yeah, Media Matters is at least accurate.
All right, well, that's close
And they
enough.
Post within context, too.
They posted the actual transcript of the actual skit. Let's listen again.
Hey, all you international celebrities who've already scored a malnourished African child but are still feeling unfulfilled. Child Max here, and we know the answer to your...
They couldn't understand what you said there.
Ennui.
Oh, that's good. Ennui. No,
they wouldn't know
ennui
because it's French.
It's French.
Okay. To your ennui.
Right-wing morons.
Come on over to the Dark Continent and adopt another one. Our extensive research has indicated that post-adoption annoyance is due in most cases to a feeling of asymmetry. That's right. Get a little black bookend to complete the set. Who needs a single black family member standing out like a raisin in a bowl of rice? Give the little nipper some company. I said nipper. Little nipper, say in London, you know, when he's a kid. Saucepan lid, you know. And add a little more melanin to the landscape. You won't regret it. We have the completion orphan you need in stock, or we can get you on within 24 hours.
Hang on. They've helpfully noted here. Miller laughs in the background.
Just like that. We've got them all. Nigerians, Malawians, Ivory Coasters, Beninians, and the ever-popular Kenyans. Check out our lot. Here we have the 2003 Ghanaian...
They said multi-Guinea. I don't know what they're talking about. Already with their second set of teeth with just a few scattered smallpox scars.
Oh.
This fine 2001 model Ethiopian is very lively and loving, and the kwashiorkor has almost completely cleared up. Or kwashiorkor, or kwashiorkor, or kwashiorkor. They're different pronunciations.
Okay.
You know, it's that horrible.
And then they interdict that I said there, I got it.
Okay.
That made me more guilty because I talked it.
A couple thousand calories and he's good as new. And check out this 2005 Ugandan. He'll be walking as soon as you take him up with the milk to get the rickets under control. Don't delay. Don't deny yourself. You want him, we got him. Come down to Chilmax and take home your ebony accessory today. Guaranteed not to cause inter-tribal massacre around the dinner table. Financing available. Easy payments, low interest. Call, click, or come on in.
Okay, and then they've hopefully, Chris, you got dragged into this.
Oh, I did?
Chris Lavoie, comma, sidekick. Wow.
Wow.
Miller, that was, .. Lavoie, that was offensive. Miller, extremely, laughs. Inappropriate. But Miller liked the skit so much they replayed it in briefer form in the show's third hour. Yes, we did.
I wasn't here for that. You can't drag me into that.
And we just played in third hour because we always do because we're too lazy to come up with new stuff. What are you, crazy? That's nothing to do. Wow, that was quite the damning report, wasn't it?
Yes, wow, they really got us.
Jim, I guess they sort of missed the fact that we were mocking celebrities.
Yes, celebrities
that,
who
tend to adopt children like accessories.
Yes, acquire human beings as accessories. Mm-hmm. Look, I got one too. It's almost like the Republican Party. Look, we have non-white people.
Exactly.
We have Michael Steele.
Whereas the Barack the Magic Negro, that was just racist and not funny and just stupid. Really?
It was.
Oh! By the way, I heard another one of those on the Drug Addled Gas Bag show.
Oh.
You guys are going to like this. You ready? It's Barney Frank singing Something Queen, Bailout Queen, because you see, he's a homosexual, and that's why. See, their humor is just basically, it's just based on race. There are no other, or you know, sexual orientation. There's really nothing else there. There's no other there
right.
in the funny. It's just a bailout queen.
Yeah.
He's to the tune of Dancing Queen because he's
a homo.
Yes. That's why it's funny, apparently.
Hmm.
Okay. Dee in Chicago on AIG. Hi, Dee.
Hi. I just wanted to say, I just think this whole bailout thing is just a smokescreen. I mean, I don't think these people should have got the millions of dollars that they got. But in the grand scheme of the billions of dollars that they got, it really isn't that big of a percentage. And I just think it takes our mind off of really important things like health care. I mean, me and my husband are both currently unemployed. And the fact that these people got bonuses is not helping me find a job, is not helping my mortgage go down. And I think those are the things that we should be talking about, but I just think it's easier for people to say, they got this money and they shouldn't have.
Right, it's something to focus on when people are already so frustrated and angry, and you're right. It's like the other thing someone was saying, this is small change compared to all the rest of this bailout money, and, you know.
It is. It really is when you really think about it, and at this point, I just don't care. I mean, just give me a job and make sure my mortgage doesn't go up.
Yep.
That's all I
need. I think all of us are only capable of so much populist rage before we exhaust ourselves. We're like, and it's like a child having a tantrum, and then we're like, okay. I'll be asleep in the back seat. Wake me when there's ice cream. 42 minutes after the
Wake
hour.
Wake me when we get to the beach. Yeah.
42 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on the AIG message. We continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's positively delightful.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Stick up the butt liberal line is ringing. It's for you, Jim. Robert in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Ms. Miller.
Good morning.
I have to tell you, I am a white guy who adopted a black child 10 years ago. And,
we're not talking about you. We're talking about Madonna.
We're talking about people who do it for publicity.
Oh, of course, I know. And that's what I was going to say. Your skit was offensive and terrible, and I loved it, absolutely.
darn it. I was hoping you were an actual stick-up-the-butt liberal.
Exactly. Well, it is funny because I'm a little surprised that the liberals haven't been on you about it because I live in Madison, which I love you, Madison, but it's the capital of white guilt. but you should see the looks on the faces when I refer to my son as store-bought.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I do it for shock value, of course. Yeah. But I'm with you. The people who buy the kids to look good and the you know, go to Asia when we have perfectly good children here who need homes. Drives me crazy. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, liberals aren't outraged because they get parody.
Yes.
And somebody on the live blog wrote, it's funny when the right wing tries to be politically correct.
Yes.
Because they're not really offended. They're just hoping that some liberals will be.
Yeah. Yeah. They've heard what being politically correct sounds like.
And they try to make noises that sound kind of like that.
Sound like it, but they just can't wrap their brain around it.
A liberal said black. There must be something. Wait a minute. It's like, it's all context. When Bill Bennett does it, it's racist. You know why? Because Bill Bennett doesn't get why it's racist.
I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down.
What? What'd I say? What?
See, he brought black into it for no reason. And then he defended that by saying...
Well, no, but he assumes and assumes his audience assumes that black and criminal are synonymous.
Yes.
And it's... What?
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, Arizona. Hello, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was listening to you guys reading back that transcript a little bit ago, and you really are the best thing for the First Amendment since Larry Flynn.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. I was listening to that caller who was unemployed with the unemployed husband saying, please, let's stop paying attention to these bonuses. And I was thinking, how wise that woman is. That was outstanding because she is correct. All these other things need to be dealt with, and it is chump change. That being said, I wouldn't mind rooting around in the cushions.
just let me in those EIG couches for a second or two. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on EIG. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
The whole Republican outrage on this AIG thing I think is ironic, and because I saw where Mr. Liddy from AIG used to run Allstate, and he had fired a number of older agents and years ago, and their contracts were broken. So yesterday when he had said that it would be difficult to break the contracts, he broke contracts.
Well, we all smelled that BS when we first, so it's like, wait a minute, all have to renegotiate at times like that. You can't tell me that can't be.
Auto workers with their demands.
Exactly.
And they're in a long, drawn-out lawsuit over this with, I think, AARP is involved and the Equal Employment Office is involved. And so if the lawyers were scanning through the bill that Chris Dodd put through, it's possible that that's what they were thinking of. Let's avoid this kind of stuff if possible. Let's just pay these people off, get them out of our way, get it off the books, and move on.
Yep.
And that's where I'm coming from.
Yep.
If they were secretive, I just don't see that as being possible.
Yep.
They're trying to make it sound like Chris Dodd took donations from AIG, and now he's writing something special for them.
Yeah, so did Bush, so did everybody.
That's not really what happened.
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey. Yeah, here are the not-so-fun facts. I think we mentioned some of these yesterday. New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo said the AIG paid bonuses of $1 million or more to 73 employees, including 11, ironically, who no longer work at the company.
Yeah.
So that means they weren't... the word I'm
retained.
Looking for. Retained, Jim. Yes, that was the irony I was searching for there. Contracts written last March guaranteed employees 100% of their 2007 bonus amounts for 2008, despite obvious signs that 2008 performance would be disastrous in comparison to the year before. AIG also claims the retention of individuals at Financial Products was vital to unwinding the subsidiary's business, Cuomo wrote, but AIG has been unwilling to provide their names despite his subpoena for the list, making it impossible to test that claim. He said his office will do everything necessary to get the information. The company and some federal regulators have said it was obligated by contract to make the payments. Cuomo said the bonuses might have been fraudulent if AIG officials knew the company couldn't afford them. Cuomo said despite their contracts, Financial Products employees agreed to take 2009 salaries of $1 in exchange for receiving their retention bonus packages. He said the fact that AIG could negotiate the terms of the payments flies in the face of AIG's assertion that it had no choice but to make the contractual bonus payments. You could argue that if taxpayers didn't bail out AIG, those contracts wouldn't be worth the paper they're printed on, said Cuomo, which is a good point, good point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The president was out talking about the AIG bonuses yesterday.
These bonuses that have been paid out have been consuming a lot of attention, and rightfully so.
because they represent what I think all of us consider an inappropriate use of taxpayer funds.
He said it was inappropriate use, just as outrageous as the fact we find ourselves having to clean up after EIG's mess. He also said he doesn't want to quell anger, the president yesterday.
I don't want to quell anger. I think people are right to be angry. I'm angry. What I want us to do, though, is channel our anger in a constructive way.
He also repeated they're exploring every possible avenue, as is Congress, on how to block the payment of the bonuses. Yeah, at some point, like I was saying, the populist rage, like a toddler having a tantrum, we will have spent ourselves and then we need to figure out what to do.
Yes.
How do I clean up the mess?
We've got a big mess that we're having to clean up. Nobody here drafted those contracts. Nobody here was responsible for supervising AIG and allowing themselves to put the economy at risk by some of the outrageous behavior that they were engaged in. We are responsible, though. The buck stops with me.
So, Christopher, you were saying, because you said Tim Geithner was part of the negotiation back when he was what?
With the New York Federal Reserve.
Right, he wasn't with the Obama administration.
Right.
This, obviously, the AIG bailout came in the Bush administration.
Absolutely. And it came from Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's who wrote the bill.
Mm-hmm. The president said he wants legislation providing greater regulation of financial institutions like AIG so taxpayers won't be left holding the bag when companies fail. As we work toward getting ourselves out of the recession, I hope that Wall Street and the marketplace doesn't think we can return to business as usual. We talked about this yesterday, the whole too big to fail notion.
Mm-hmm.
Congress should identify banks or other financial institutions that have become so large their failure poses a systematic risk and should put them under federal supervision, according to the Independent Community Bankers of America.
All of this stems from the deregulation that happened in the Reagan administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the pickle we're in, and I see both sides of it. I understand bailout fatigue perfectly, and on the other hand, like you say, if they're so interconnected, they literally can bring down the entire economy. There's so many tentacles, or whatever you want to call them, to these... All right, the president.
Well, look, rather than go into the details of finding it out, ultimately I'm responsible. I'm the president of the United States.
Wow. A little bit refreshing, I must say.
Yeah.
Kristen in Chicago on AIG. Hello, Kristen.
Hello. Okay, I was watching this yesterday at work, and I watched the full day hearing of this. And one thing I noticed that he said was that these retention contracts were signed in early 2008, which was basically for them to do their portion of their work or whatever they wanted them to do, and they would be paid a bonus. My question is, when these were signed, this was before they received money from the government. So once they receive money from the government, I would consider these contracts null and void, being that this money, the bonuses, aren't being paid from AIG's money. This is government.
Right. Well, that's what
this
I just said.
Profit.
Right, Kristen, that's what I just said Andrew Cuomo said yesterday, that, you know, if the government hadn't bailed them out, they wouldn't be worth the paper they're written on.
They wouldn't have money at all. So now all these people, you know, he was saying a million plus certain people were getting. Really? You think the work that they did was worth $1 million? My CEO wouldn't expect $1 million paycheck, and I'm an accountant.
Well, I mean, I want questions answered. Like, how come 11 of the people that got these bonuses left?
Exactly. Well, they're saying that their work was done. Well, I'm sorry, but my
Why do you pay someone?
Exactly. My
right.
company's in the black. I don't get $1 million bonus. We profited $52 million last year. Do I get a pat on the back for that?
Right.
No, it's about doing your job.
Right, and the fact that the word retention is in it means you're supposed to stay.
Well, they said it was for that portion of time. Well,
I vey. Yeah, I'd like that one of those, please. Just for the time, for time served.
Yes.
All right. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel talking more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Mary Kilroy, Mary Jo Kilroy, pardon me,
right,
of the great state of Ohio, calls in to discuss AIG and much more and outsourcing.
Yes.
And then comedian John Fugelsang in the studio with us live in hour number three. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Faye did, the official radical militant librarian of the Stephanie Miller Show. Cling. With some guess the quotes for Jim Ward. The only hint is they're all Republicans. Who said it's the beginning of the end? Oh, this is on gay rights. It's the beginning of the end. Oh, it's worse than that. Sodom and Gomorrah was localized. This is worldwide. Who said that?
Wayne Rooney.
No, Utah State Senator Chris Butters.
Oh,
his
that
name
guy.
Is Butter.
From South Park?
He's one of the anti-gays. Who said, I would submit furthermore that not only is there a debate, but the debate is shifting away from those who subscribe to global warming alarmism.
Huh?
After studying the issue over several years, I believe that the balance of the evidence offers strong proof that natural variability is the overwhelming factor influencing climate. Who said that?
Stephen Gerrard.
No! Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he once, speaking of the anti-gay, didn't he once have a chart of his family history that showed that it was remarkably free of the divorce and the gay and anything icky like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. He's a genetically superior type of...
He's asking
bloodline.
For someone to look into his family. He's just asking
come
for
on.
It.
There's got to be a... Uncle in Fire Island or something. Who said John McCain is kind of like Jesus Christ on the cross?
Frank Lampard.
No! Georgia Republican Chairwoman Sue Everhart.
Hmm.
Okay, in the bonus round, who said those of us that followed Bush for the last 8 years, I think you look at his presidency, he did a good job.
What?
Who said that?
Michael Owen.
No, Mike Seaback. He's the vice chair of the
first name
Republican
right.
Party in Arkansas.
Who? What was your theme?
They're British soccer players.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Allison. Can I have my fine American music? This is a little... frightening. I'd like frightening music. She's a fine American reporting frightening news to us. Steph, here's a true and frightening financial story for your show. In the late 80s, I dated the vice president for Dean Witter, who went on to become a vice president at Morgan Stanley several years after that.
Hmm.
One evening while having drinks at a fancy restaurant, he let it slip that the entire industry knew the 87 crash was on the horizon before it actually happened. He said all his friends got out of the market before the crash and that
of
they
course.
Relieved their clients
helps
of houses,
it.
Cars, boats, and felt no remorse at all. My mouth dropped. It made me sick. I asked how it was possible for that to happen, knowing that insider trading was illegal, but that's what they'd done. He laughed.
Yes, exactly.
And explained
insider trading.
That it was sanctioned by the government. I threw a glass of wine in his face and walked out. Oh, good girl.
Really?
This was during the Reagan era.
I thought that only happened in movies, that people threw glasses of wine.
She did express a little populist rage for the rest of us.
But, yeah, the point is, this has been going on since the Reagan era deregulation, and it's only getting worse.
Now, if I had access to that kind of information, me, a podunk nobody on the lowest rung of the investment banking world, then it was certain that lots of higher-ups also knew about this unethical trading. Perhaps everyone who worked in the industry knew. And why didn't they protect their clients? Why didn't the government swoop down and render them powerless? Because everyone was making lots of money, and they don't care about us. They care about their bank balances. I'm throwing a glass in the wine in the entire face of all of Wall Street.
They're sucking,
on behalf of,
they're sucking all the money out of the country, and they're going to flee to their private islands, and they don't care what happens to this country or the rest of the world. It's going to be a core group of elites who have all the money, and everyone else will be killing each other for food. That's their plan.
Just when my populist rage had subsided a little bit, now I've had a fresh wave. It's like a toddler that you know, screams himself out and then gets a second wind. You parents know what I'm talking about.
Your parents gave him some candy, and they got a sugar rush.
Sugar coma. Now I'm up again, and I'm mad as hell.
I think I might have to start a victory garden in my backyard, so... I'll have some food to eat.
Yes. Jim was talking about that yesterday, what to plant in his victory garden.
Can you grow anything in Los Angeles soil?
Sure.
Can you?
Really? Yeah. Good to know. Okay.
I thought it was all toxic.
Oh, well, yeah, there's some rocket fuel.
This is how bad things have gotten. Get ready to say what? Oh, no.
Heavy water.
French sex toy sales fall as credit crunch bites. Exactly.
What a loss.
Mon Dieu.
What? Mon
Dieu? There's going to be even more ennui, isn't there, Jim? We will lose our je ne sais quoi. We speak in French, so the right-wing websites won't know what we're saying.
Well, Jim and I speak in French. I don't know what you're speaking.
Voulez-vous que je vous envoie?
That wasn't French.
No. Well, sales in the French erotic industry. Oh, you know, when you can't afford a good French tickler, what the hell has happened to our country?
That just make do with Belgian ticklers, I guess.
Kenyan ticklers.
Sales in the French erotic industry have fallen as the global economic crisis has driven consumers to reduce their spending on sex toys, massage oils, and other kinky products, according to French sex toy specialists of some sort.
Well, how many do you need, really? The most.
How many can there be?
The old ones are probably just fine.
One woman that works at this sex post said that normally people buy two or three products, and they're walking away with just one. Sad little woman with one sad little
As far as she knows, they're walking
vibrator.
Away with just one. One of them may be hidden.
What's...
Dude!
All right.
Oh!
Hey, speaking of which, in a completely unrelated story, Canadian...
Are they walking funny when they're walking away?
In the Girls Don't You Hate When This Happens stack, a Canadian woman wakes up to a cute snake. Don't you hate when... Oh, I hate that. A woman,
is there a such thing as a cute
just
snake?
She
just
woke up to a
cute.
Slithering surprise. A snake had gotten into her sweet...
Oh, an actual snake. I thought it was being metaphorical.
Yes, a serpent.
A continuation of the last story.
Was coiled up in her hand when she awoke. And, at least that's what he told her. Okay, all right. It's a... Oh, what? Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Unfortunate juxtaposition, those two stories.
It's time for Tinsel.
It was completely by accident.
Let's find out what's going on.
The right wingers know how to spell juxtaposition.
With Stephanie Miller.
Shall we help them? J-U-X.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, I can't believe what they said. The juxtaposition.
The headline
just
is.
Juxtaposition.
The headline is Amy Winehouse gets badly burned after falling asleep on a sunbed. She was asleep. That was it.
Yeah. What a shock.
She overdid it in her, I don't, is that, in, this is the things that seem unwise stack, Amy Winehouse buying a tanning bed. No.
Oh, it was her own?
Yes, she overdid it in her in-house tanning machine, badly burning her eyelids in the process. She had recently had a sunbed installed in her new house and was keen to try it out. Sadly, according to a source, she had a bit of a heavy night. What? Does that ever happen?
Unusual.
And it was a little too relaxed by the time she clambered into the bed and promptly fell asleep.
Oh. And fortunately, there was a timer on it, or she'd be a little crispier.
Yes,
clumper.
Yes. Yeah. We have our entertainment Charcoal. Reporter, I believe. Mm-hmm.
This is your entertainment reporter, Percy Sludgebottom, with a news flash. I hope you're sitting down. Amy Winehouse is a drunken slag. There, I said it. Oh, it feels so good to get that off my chest. Which is exactly what I said after a particularly wild party when the fleet was in. The lash rum and buggery, indeed. Who's the drunken slag now? Hello, Porter's the kettle. You're black, but I digress. It appears Ms. Trainwreck felt the need to acquire a tanning bed. Good job! Bake in those tattoos. Make them all the more difficult to remove should you ever come to your senses in your dotage. Unfortunately, La Winehouse, La Crackhouse would be more appropriate, passed out in a stupor and nearly burned her face off, causing potentially thousands of dollars worth of improvements. Really, it couldn't possibly be any worse than it is on any given day, and that's with makeup. If I had to wake up to that mess in the morning, I would go gay. Richard Simmons, Liberace, Rip Taylor gay. Oops, too late. I'm Percy Sludgebottom, and I'm not talking to you. Call me.
Okay, and finally the headline, Chris Brown and Rihanna taking a break. Oh, I think perhaps.
That's probably
wise.
Yeah, I wonder who talked him into that.
When's good for you again? How about never? No coincidence that Rihanna and Chris Brown are on opposite coasts right now. I would keep a coast or two in between me if I were her. According to a source close to the couple, they've been taking a break. We're told they plan to see each other soon. Well, I certainly hope she brings a... Jim.
Oh, umbrella. Ella. Ella.
Thank you.
Ella.
I just was giving him a chance to get to that joke that he normally... Yeah. Okay. What do you have here? Oh, an app. That's right. Speaking of which...
Ladies, is your no-good, low-down, cheating boyfriend using your face as a speed bag? Tempted to take a break from the relationship after he's broken your nose and cheekbone? Well, don't take it lying down. Give as good as you get with the Rihanna Combat Umbrella. Specially fortified with titanium rods to leave your calling card on the scumbag's noggin.
Ow!
Razor sharp hooks extend to turn his face into hamburger. Ow! And the coup de grace, a spring-loaded lead-filled boxing glove to give him something to remember you by when he's icing down his nads.
Scream.
Call now.
Ow! Ow!
That's all for, oh boy, that's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Okay. If you'd like more of, you know, that. Yeah.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, Banneret, StephanieMiller.com.
Oh, yes.
Buy the album.
StephanieMiller.com.
And if you want to hear that again, you can go to the maybe little widget on the left side of the homepage there at StephanieMiller.com and listen to it.
Maybe we'll fix these.
He's
fix
trying to help.
Post.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Oh, there is no post.
Okay.
Live? Who does live anymore?
Here's something you could have helped with. Eva Longoria Parker dreaded kissing Terry Hatcher. If only they had someone on set to relax them.
Let me be your fluffer, baby. Oh, I'll get you relaxed.
She dreaded kissing Terry Hatcher for the same-sex smooch in Desperate Housewives because she hates getting close to anyone on screen.
Well, I'd be her stand-in if that would, that would help.
She said, even if it's Terry Hatcher, I hate it. It doesn't matter who. It's just such a personal invasion. I find it really difficult. She also let slip a racy new plot line. Not with me and Terry. There's a lesbian storyline with Terry and another actor, and she comes to the girls for advice, and I have to clear things up for her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's hoping for a guest shot for Jim Ward on that episode. How hilarious they were fans of the show, and they cast the squeezy into it for like a little five-liner or something.
Yeah.
Just door open. Oh, well, howdy-do.
My. Hey now.
Maybe okay. I dare you because I know actually one of the producers is a
really?
Fan. I heard.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Huh. Please. Okay. If there is a God in heaven, there will be not actually a line for Jim, but he will just there will be a door open.
Hey now.
And he'll just go.
Oh my.
And then close the door. That's it.
Yeah. Get on that.
And someone will say, who is that? Oh, you know, he's that representative in Texas. Is it Ben?
The sexy cheerleading.
Yeah, I don't think that would. No, I don't think that would work. But, you know, I'm glad we'd be guest shot on anybody's show at this point.
Oh, boy. All
I
right.
need a theatrical agent first, though. That'd be something to get.
Hello?
So anybody,
theatrical agent, please.
My headshots are only 5 years old.
For Sir Jim Ward.
And I've only gained 1,000 pounds since working on this show.
I just have. Great. I know. I just had to do a new photo shoot. I haven't seen them yet, Chris, but I can't. You know, I got to stop hiding behind the 5-year-old ones that we've been using. No.
Yeah.
There's not enough airbrushing in the world.
Yeah, you've aged a little bit.
Oh, shut up. It's your fault.
Well, I have too. You've aged me.
Sleep deprivation is not good for your body.
That and excess alcohol.
Apparently, Tim Conway Jr. did something where he showed like the before and after picture before he got the radio job, and now, when he was.
Oh, I look a lot like Dick Morris, I think, in the new pictures, from what I can tell.
Dick Morris.
Yeah.
Dick Morris. I didn't think you... No, he's... Dick Morris is...
I'm a little puffy.
Yeah.
Okay, 20 minutes
Dick
after the
Morris
hour.
Is beyond puffy.
Back with a little Scotchmore celebrity stack and AIG as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's absolutely perfection.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free to join the party, or come live blog with us, won't you?
That's right.
Like someone did with a comment on the woman waking up next to a snake.
Someone on the live blog wanted to know if a cute snake was a snake bent at less than 90 degrees.
Ha ha!
Hey!
Because Mama has the smart listeners.
Do you know what that means, Stephanie?
Uh-huh. It's a geometric... acute, meaning acute, not as in it's cute, like,
an
oh,
acute
isn't
angle,
cute,
yes.
But at an acute angle.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah, after a little help from Jim.
No, I was not told I would be tested on this today. Do I have to know this? Yeah. All right. As everybody knows, the very sad celebrity stack today, actress Natasha Richardson died yesterday, which is, wow.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Wow. I had a friend call me who snowboards, and I literally, the first thing I said, I'm like, please stop. Please stop snowboarding.
Yeah.
I, as you know, I'm a big wuss. I don't do anything in which there's a chance that when I finish it, I have less limbs than I started with. And she's one of those people, my friend, that does the surfing and the snowboarding and the...
Whatever!
She was on a bunny slope. She was... Yeah. And I thought, you know, when you first heard the story, it was some horrific injury. Like, she ran into a tree or something, but it was like she fell and was fine, they thought, you know. And
yeah,
then it got a headache.
She refused treatment, and then an hour later, you know, the swelling started, but then it was probably too late.
Yeah, I heard the news, and first I thought it broke on MSNBC, on Entertainment Tonight. There was
ET has confirmed that actress Natasha Richardson has died following a serious head injury from a skiing accident in Canada on Monday. The 45-year-old Tony Award winner was on a beginner slope and fell down near the bottom of the run. There was no apparent injury at the time, and Natasha said she was fine. Later that day, back at the hotel, Natasha started complaining of headaches and that she wasn't feeling well. The hotel staff called 911 and she was rushed to a hospital near the Mont-Tremblant ski area. Richardson is the wife of Irish actor Liam Neeson and the daughter of actress Vanessa Redgrave. Natasha's sister Jolie is also an actress currently starring in Nip Tuck. We will have more details on the next ET. From the Entertainment Tonight newsroom in Hollywood, I'm Mark Steinis.
Yeah, if you have a head injury of any kind,
I was reading more than I wanted to know yesterday about all that, that it's, you know, sometimes internal bleeding that you don't know. There's like a number of things that can happen that you don't realize are going on. And then it's, she has two kids, two sons, 12 and 13. And, was that a sad story. Because the reports were so conflicting at first.
Yeah, they were.
Well,
that's because the, you know, family wanted privacy. And so, you know, rumors spread and it was just awful. It's just an awful, awful situation.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Our thoughts go out to the family.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Sorry for the downer.
I know. Everybody I know is talking about it. It was one of those things where, you know, it's not even that you knew her or whatever, but it's just a lot of, you know.
Everybody on my jury during breaks, that's all we could talk about.
Around our age I heard from a lot of friends and just very, very sad. All right. So AIG, it was a big day yesterday. Liddy was testifying. He told Congress that we've heard the American people loudly and clearly in their rage over the executive bonuses. He appealed to employees to return at least half the money. No.
Computer says no.
We would like it all.
Yes, please.
Thank you. He said some workers have already stepped up to give money back, which to them, we applaud them, which is what we said. Shouldn't you have some sort of conscience of some sort, give this money back? The president defended Tim Geithner yesterday.
There has never been a Secretary of the Treasury, except maybe Alexander Hamilton, right after the Revolutionary War, who's had to deal with the multiplicity of issues that Secretary Geithner's having to deal with, all at the same time.
That is true. He went on to say that he's doing the best he can with a bad hand, but I don't know. I don't know about that. Tim Geithner.
I just worry about Geithner and
Summers
being in bed with the people they're supposed to be regulating.
Yeah. 28 minutes after the hour, we will ask Representative Mary Jo Kilroy, Democrat of Ohio, about this and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, a lovely girl who came from beyond the stars to spot in the sea.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, times are tough out there, Chris. Thank God I have Max to spoon with me. My Great Pyrenees. He spooned with Mommy last night. We laid together. He's such a good boy. Oh, pardon me. Am I still on the air? You know, I think only dog people can get together and save the world now. If only, what? Who is it, Chris?
It's Representative Mary Jo Kilroy from the great state of Ohio.
She's a dog person.
I am a dog person. I've got three of them.
If you could only rescue the economy like you rescue dogs, Congresswoman.
You know what? Everybody can go to a shelter and adopt a shelter dog. That would be so awesome.
I know. I'm excited to meet you finally. I hear we have lots of listeners in Ohio that love you. Apparently you have offices that are very user-friendly or some sort of communist plot. You actually talk to your constituents and things like that.
Well, I think it's really important that we reach out to constituents and hear what's going on. You know, it's real dangerous to be inside of a Washington bubble or inside a financial bubble. We've got to make sure we're connected to the real people and the real economy.
Yep, absolutely. Now, because obviously it's the, you know, top of the news, Congresswoman, talk to me about the AIG bonuses and your take on all that.
Well, the Congress is outraged, and we spent a long time in hearings yesterday with the CEO of the company, Liddy, demanding that these bonuses be returned to the people. I mean, the Federal Reserve bailed out AIG, then they came back for more money in TARP, and it is a slap in the face to the hardworking American people for them to basically try to coerce of bonuses out of AIG using federal money.
Well, I think, and I think I've mentioned this, Congresswoman Kilroy, is that Andrew Cuomo said yesterday, if we hadn't bailed them out, these bonuses wouldn't be worth the paper they're written on.
That's
I mean,
right.
So don't tell me you can't renegotiate these, right?
Contracts get renegotiated every day, and a company in financial difficulty should go to its creditors and say, we need to renegotiate it. And certainly AIG is in trouble. They didn't have the money to pay the bonuses if they hadn't received the money from the Federal Reserve and from TARP, and they shouldn't be handing them out now.
Now, Chris, could I have my fine American music? I understand there is a congresswoman who authored a letter signed by 42 members of Congress calling for the J.P. Morgan CEO to explain his company's plans to spend $400 million on outsourcing work to India. J.P. Morgan Chase received $25 billion from the taxpayer from the TARP program. The congresswoman writes, J.P. Morgan Chase or any other bank that received bailout funds should not be spending $400 million to stimulate the Indian economy when the America's economy needs it more. We have plenty of out-of-work people in central Ohio that can do the jobs and need the jobs. Many of them are already trained in these jobs. I just don't know how many times the American people will tolerate this type of action by the same CEOs they bailed out for bad decisions. And the author of that, oh, Mary Jo Kilroy wrote that. That's some good stuff. Tell us about your letter.
Well, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase is a big employer in Central Ohio, and it employs a lot of people in my district. And during a hearing with other banking members, they had the nerve to tell us that they moved off operations offshore because they couldn't find qualified employees, which I think is just a bunch of nonsense. We have qualified IT professionals. We have qualified banking professionals and financial experts who want these jobs. And especially in this instance where J.P. Morgan Chase is saying they're going to move IT operations offshore. We want answers. And I want to know why the IT people out of work in my district can't
don't
get
you love
these
how,
jobs.
Don't you love how the word they use to describe that, Congresswoman, they say we are streamlining our IT operations, meaning, but streamlining it right out of the United States. I mean, it really is amazing, isn't it?
It's totally amazing.
When it's our American taxpayers that are giving them money.
I know, it's outrageous.
So have you gotten a response?
From J.P. Morgan mm-hmm. Chase? Mm-hmm. No, we haven't gotten a response from them yet, but we will keep asking the question until we get a response.
And if you call them, let's hope that it's not the call is not diverted to a call center in India, because then you're going to be even madder.
Mm-hmm. That is a big issue here. And it's an issue with the servicers of mortgages when people try to work out modifications of, you know, where the people are that are responding to these calls and whether or not they really understand that there's good communication going back and forth so we can get these homes saved from foreclosure.
Right. Well, you know, and Congresswoman Kilroy, it seems to me that, you know, the problem is this is, you know, again makes the case for that we need more government regulation or oversight and not less. Because, you know, a lot of things you'd think would be, you know, would just be, I don't even know what the word is, just good conscience that they would not give bonuses during a time like this when they're getting government bailout, or they'd not outsource jobs out of the country when they're getting U.S. taxpayer help. And yet you think, God, can you think of everything to put in these, you know, the regulations for these TARP funds that is going to prevent all this stuff?
Well, these guys should be understanding their fiduciary responsibilities to the American people. And their board of directors, their CEO, and these highly compensated employees, I think, should have a responsibility to really serve our country. AIG did cataclysmic damage with the kind of credit default swaps they were engaged in to their own company, to the financial markets, and it's spilling out into the rest of the economy. And they should be working hard to make good, to bring that company back to life, instead of saying, if you don't give us these big bonuses, we won't work for you anymore. We won't help out. And in even one suggestion that they would work adversely to the company with the knowledge that they had gained. That's outrageous that suggestion is even out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
a lot of people are serving our nation, and we brought to the floor yesterday a bill, you know, encouraging AmeriCorps and City Year and VISTA volunteers. And I know in my district, people who are unemployed are going to help out at various charities. That's the kind of attitude we need, not the kind of attitude we're seeing from the AIG and others who are exhibiting greed in the extreme.
Well, now, so you had the CEO, Edward Liddy, testify yesterday. I don't get this. Maybe you can explain it to me, that he said he's asked executives who receive the bonuses to do the right thing and return at least half the money. What, half the money?
We're asking for all the money to come back. And so it just seems that AIG still doesn't get it. The money needs to be returned, and AIG needs to be working to put that company to right so that they could pay back to the American people the money that they put in. And they need to understand that the taxpayers are now their majority shareholders.
Yep, absolutely. What do you think is going to happen if you had to take a guess? Is there going to have to be legislation in Congress? Are they going to return down their own? What avenues do you think are going to work?
There are a number of bills being worked on right now that would require AIG to give the money back. People are taking a look at shareholder lawsuits, taking a look at taxation policies, and we are going to have a resolution on the floor of the House this afternoon that I sponsored, telling AIG just what Congress thinks about their actions and our demand that they give the money back and that Treasury work to get that money back.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman Kilroy, I hope you'll check back with us on what the response is on the outsourcing, because that I think is really important, because to me that's the crux. I mean, there's so many problems economically right now, but people not having jobs I think is the biggest one, because you can't afford any house if you don't have a job.
Absolutely, and we in Ohio have felt that for a long time. We want to see people in jobs that pay them a wage that will help them support their family, maintain their obligations, keep their houses. That is what America should be about.
Well, please keep us posted on the response from J.P. Morgan and others. And in the meantime, before you go, I think the most important question facing America, what kind of rescue dogs do you have?
I have three mixed breed dogs. They are hound mixes, lab mixes, and I miss them.
Aww. And when's the White House getting that damn puppy? Congresswoman Kilroy.
I hope the White House gets a dog from the shelter, and yeah. I told Rahm Emanuel I would help get a shelter dog for them or a rescue dog for them. I have done that for a lot of people in Central Ohio, helped them meet the right dog for their family situation, and I'd be glad to do the same thing for the Obama family.
Good, because I'm going to tell you a story from my recent celebrity stack that'll make you mad on so many levels. Paris Hilton's new boyfriend bought her a $10,000 Pomeranian teacup dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
With the economy, with dog rescue, doesn't it make you hate her even more? Let's pass a bill against her. All right.
We need to do some education.
Yes.
With
on so many levels. Representative Mary Jo Kilroy from the great state of Ohio, thanks so much for taking time for us this morning.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes.
Yay!
Seeing the new Rolling Stone, Matt Taibbi has a very good piece on this whole AIG mess and
really?
how it happened. Yeah,
Matt Taibbi's awesome.
Yeah, he is
he's
awesome.
Great.
All
and
right.
He manages not to use the F word in the, I think, through most of the article.
Wow.
It's just unusual for him.
That's just unusual for populist rage these days.
Yes, it is.
All right, 43 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the AIG mess as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after
don't
the hour.
Do that.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. See, my microphone swinging dangerously by one tiny little broken screw up there.
Yeah.
It's a symbol of the entire economy, how fragile life is, fragile our economy is, how fragile
your microphone.
This little show is.
How fragile your microphone stand is.
1-800.
You broke it.
I didn't break it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You're going to break the show by going to jury duty again next hour.
Well, yeah, but I get to stay for an extra half hour today.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd be happy, but you just mocked me.
Great. Gene, and you could have done your civic duty by causing a mistrial. Gene in Illinois, by playing with your iPhone or a penis pump or something in the courtroom. Gene in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on JP Morgan.
They have an app for that.
Steph, just in response to the JP Morgan outsourcing,
yes.
I don't see why we should have to wait for a response. If we're giving them money, they should just be told, no, you're not outsourcing,
well,
period.
Right, Gene, that's why I don't get, like, what do we, I clearly Congress needs to get better at putting these things in writing. No bonuses with our money. No outsourcing with our money.
Well, it's not rocket science. I do not understand our government, why they just, what's waiting for a response, answer back from these people? You just tell them you're not doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Congress is run, you know, politics. Money's the lifeblood of politics.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys are giving campaign contributions to a lot of people.
Both sides, I know. Mm-hmm. John in Ohio on J.P. Morgan. Hey, John.
Hey, one quick nuance to the whole J.P. Morgan Chase thing that people are missing in reporting on this is that $25 billion that Chase got, they didn't ask for it. What happened is the 9 top banks were brought into Washington, and there were some of those banks, Citi and others, that needed to have the money. If only the government money went to those banks, people would get freaked out, take their money from those banks, and bail. So what they said is, we have to give money to all the top banks, because if we don't give them to all, then those banks that really are in trouble, they're going to be in deeper trouble when people start pulling their money from them. So J.P. Morgan didn't need the money, didn't ask for it, but stepped up and took the money so that it would protect those other banks. And I think that's an important nuance that's being missed in this whole story on that.
Well, yeah, but the fact remains that, you know, they still have our money and they're still outsourcing our jobs.
I agree with the outsourcing part, but the thing is, it's an important piece of the puzzle that just needs to be spelled out.
I hear you.
The outsourcing part, but that needs to be brought out too.
All right,
he should have had bank holidays like they did in the 30s.
He was playing with your Darth Vader coffee cup.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom in Albuquerque on outsourcing as well. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Hi, my job. I work in IT, and my job was outsourced 3 times in the last 5 years. And the whole idea that there aren't qualified people just dying for a job around is ludicrous to me.
Yeah, that's what the congresswoman wants an explanation for, because that's just not true that there aren't qualified people here. So I hope she gets an answer soon. Let's go to Frank in Detroit. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the TARP money. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Mama and Mook.
Hello.
Listen to that second last caller. How does he know that Chase isn't in trouble? I mean, he says that Chase wasn't in trouble and they just took the money for whatever reason, but he doesn't know that. And since we don't know who was actually in trouble, I knew that the TARP thing was a hustle back in October when Bush was still in. I just knew it. I said, this is, they're looting the country, and they're trying to do it before Obama gets in. But to get past the anger, I just want to say this. I want to remind everybody, break them up. Break them up into smaller entities. If they're too big to fail, they're too big to exist, break them all up. And then that's partly revenge. Let some banks go under. Let's break up the ones that are too big. Like AIG, they could break that up into 10 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good revenge. That's what they're scared of. See, talking about these bonuses, we're mad and we're rightfully mad.
That
is a distraction.
Yep.
They're all too big to exist. Fine. Break them up and sell them off to banks that are healthy. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're the smartest boy in class. Okay.
Yeah, I was listening to you on the way to court yesterday,
yes.
And you were giving out the smartest boy in class awards like candy.
That's because I had no adult supervision. You were gone.
Oh, well, that needs to stop.
U.S. lawmakers yesterday moved towards slapping a heavy tax on the executive bonuses. Nancy Pelosi hoped for legislation within days to recover the bonuses from AIG. Other options could be enlisting the U.S. Attorney General to recover excessive pay at companies getting government aid and clamping down on bonuses. Meanwhile, President Obama defending Tim Geithner yesterday.
Nobody's working harder than this guy. He is making all the right moves in terms of playing a bad hand. I have complete confidence in Tim Geithner and my entire economic team.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul Krugman.
Well,
Paul Krugman. What?
When somebody says, Krugman, I have complete confidence in so-and-so.
They're about to get fired.
Yeah. That's never been a good sign.
Okay, the president yesterday.
I think it's very important to remind ourselves that there are a whole bunch of folks now who are feigning outrage about these bonuses that a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago said, well, we should never meddle in these compensation plans. These are the best and the brightest. They know what they're doing. That's part of the market. And now suddenly they're outraged.
Yeah, thank you. George Bush and his good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw an executive bonus they didn't like. Let's go to Sandy in Illinois on Obama. Hello, Sandy. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I heard something hysterical the other day, and I just thought I wanted to share it about President Obama, that on several news networks they said he was overexposed, that he was too much in the public eye.
What?
And I thought, oh, my God, as if that's a negative thing. I mean, he's actually acting presidential. He's actually being a leader for the people that elected him, and he's being overexposed.
Yeah. Sean Hannity said he just misses the adulation. He just needs people cheering. It's like, no, it's because they're obstructing him in Washington, so he's going right to the American people to explain what he's doing and what he thinks is best for the country. And I got to say, whether you agree with him or not, he does it well.
He does
it in a way that's really relatable. Mm-hmm. I was watching yesterday for quite a while, and it's just you're going, he makes it relatable, you know, and in the same way that I got to say Reagan did.
Yeah.
You know, he communicates in a way that you go, okay, you know.
And I think it's a brilliant idea that he's going on the Tonight Show tonight.
I know.
Absolutely brilliant.
So do those people lined up around the block.
We can see right out our window here in beautiful downtown Burbank. They've been there since insane o'clock this morning.
They really have.
Get line.
Since
this
before
is bigger,
we got here. Yeah.
This is bigger than the Jonas Brothers.
The line is about double the length of the Jonas Brothers line.
The Jonas Brothers are losers.
Yes, they
are. I'm sorry. Terry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie
There goes our tween audience.
Hi.
Thanks.
Oh, Dana.
Hi. I'm calling because I wanted to put a personal face on this whole J.P. Morgan Chase fiasco. My daughter, 4 years ago, she's a master's level education. She's a teacher in Milwaukee. 4 years ago, she and her husband bought a very modest house. A year and a half ago, he lost his job. She's maintained hers. And they've been about a month to 2 months behind on their mortgage consistently, but she's been trying to keep it going. What's happened is they get about 5 to 10 calls a day from somebody that's from India asking where their money is. Today she decided to answer the phone call because 4 months ago she started working with a mortgage broker over at Chase Bank, and he kept saying, wait till the government puts in its new things, then we'll put in all your information, blah, blah, blah. Today, this morning, she took the call, and she said, look, I'm working with so-and-so at Chase. We're trying to make this happen, and the woman from India, who my daughter called, she said, Mom, I couldn't even understand her, kept saying, where's our money? When are you sending the money? Where's our money? And she finally just got so fed up, she said, look, can I speak to somebody over you, please? And was able to get somebody somehow connected here in America. And the woman in America said, you know, as long as you're working with somebody, honey, that's okay. That's all we need to know. But in the meantime, 10 phone calls a day from an Indian outsourcing.
Yeah. Yep.
Harassing her for not being able to make the payment when she's working so hard.
I hear you, honey. I wish her luck and all the rest of us. John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, next live in the studio as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, that website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller, and sometimes... Huh? What? Who is it, Chris?
It's John Fugelsang.
What?
Well, good morning. Well, this is wonderful.
Good morning, comedian John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Steffers.
You're here so often, you're like our Kramer.
Oh, no. That's right. I'm your racist neighbor.
By the way, sir?
He totally stole that material from me, Michael. Great, thank you. I'm lovely.
Would you like to express some populist rage over the AIG bonuses?
That's enough.
We'll come back to you.
And it's all Obama's fault, too. I give Bush credit for those 3 good days on Wall Street last week.
That's what Dana Perino says.
Yep, God bless her.
All right. Yep.
Dana Perino has a little ring at the base of her neck, and when you pull it, she blames Obama for
that. Yes, I see that. I see that there. You can email us all, by the way, at stephaniemiller.com. Michelle, subject line, are you okay, Chris? Oh, that's the ring on Dana Perino's neck. Thank you. Okay, Michelle writes, AIG should ask the dinosaurs. Oh, see, this is a good analogy. Yeah, I think I speak for all of us when I say boom, shakalakalaka, boom, boom, boom. Steph, I'm sure that you are not anti-science, so I know you believe that dinosaurs once roamed the earth. I bet some of them felt they were too big to fail. You know the old saying, how do you eat an elephant or a dinosaur? One bite at a time. She's the smartest girl in class. We need to break them up. See, the AIGs of the world, they're too big, John Fugel's saying.
They're too big for me. We got to break them all up, make them little monopolies.
Exactly.
Little pocket monopolies.
Like in Jurassic Park. The big dinosaurs, you need to break them into those little tiny, I don't know what the little ones were, velociraptors or...
Whatever.
Okay. All right. I stumbled into a dinosaur analogy and I got lost. I'm sorry.
Just here was not was made it worthwhile for me. I mean, look, I don't claim to understand the economy, all right? I was watching CNBC and they were talking about the Dow and I thought they were Buddhist. But CNBC, by the way, does stand for the Caucasian News and Business Cult.
Yes.
I spent 10 years working there 1 year. And
this is how you know things are getting really bad, is there has been yet more violence at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, no.
When things get bad, people go to Chuck E. Cheese to beat the out of each other. That's
Darwin
what happens.
Had an explanation for that, but...
It's where they go to pelt each other with multicolored balls. I don't know what... This one in Pennsylvania, could I have my Dragnet music, please? Police in Lancaster County made 2 arrests over the weekend in yet another incident at the Chuck E. Cheese restaurant. A 36-year-old woman and a 17-year-old girl were charged with harassment and disorderly conduct at about 10 p.m. Saturday. A man asked the two females to watch their language when they threw soda at him, punched him, and struck a manager in the face when she's tried to step in. I don't know what it is about Chuck E. Cheese. People just go berserk there.
Maybe the cheese is too hot. They burn the roof of their mouth and they
something.
Get bits of flesh coming. It just drives them nuts.
Yeah, just... No, you... bitch! I don't know what happens. It's, every week there's a story there. All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, before we continue.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchorperson... Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks, here it stays broken. Our top story, John Fugelsang, get ready to say what? Oh, no. New Jersey may ban genital waxing.
Okay. Oh, no.
Things could get hairy in New Jersey this summer.
Only the genital kind? Like, my eyebrows are safe, right?
Yes. For women who sport revealing bikinis or less, the painful Brazilian wax and its intimate derivatives are in danger of being stripped from salon and spa menus if a recent proposal to ban genital waxing is passed by the state's Board of Cosmetology and Hairstyling. A salon owner said the women would go ballistic if the proposal passed. She said some women would resort to waxing themselves, visiting unlicensed salons, or traveling to other states.
I expect more from a state that has a bearded governor, to be honest with you. I mean, Corzine's got to step in.
New Jersey statutes allow waxing of the face, neck, arms, legs, and abdomen. Ooh, Jersey girl's a little furry, apparently. But officials say that genital waxing has always been illegal, although not spelled out. A spokesman for New Jersey's Division of Consumer Affairs said the proposal was specifically banned genital waxing and was prompted by complaints to the board from 2 women who were injured and hospitalized. That's a waxing gone awry there.
Yeah, that's a bad waxing job.
Yeah, that's one of America's funniest vaginal mishaps, isn't it, Jim?
Danielson.
We have some Jersey salon owner, I believe.
Ladies, has a recent decision by the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs to ban the Brazilian wax got you down? Forget about it. Hi, I'm Vinny from Cooter Rooters. If you're like me, you got hair in places where you didn't know you had places. In my case, everywhere but my head. Let's face it, those of us who, shall we say, Mediterranean descent can be a little hirsute. And there's only one T in that word, by the way. And you need to bring in the heavy artillery. Me, I shave six times a day. And there ain't no tweezers in the world strong enough to tame Madonna's unibrow. At Cooter Rooters, I've got an Army surplus C-46 twin-rotor helicopter that'll clear out an Amazonian rainforest quicker than you can say, "Stop breaking my..." If that's not enough, I got an Army surplus flamethrower to take out the stragglers. Then, as a final pampering treat, we cool the whole mess down with a big bowl of Spumoni, leaving your naughty place chilly, fresh, and fruity. So come on down to Cooter Rooters. Next time you have a Brittany moment, you can tell the paparazzi, "What are you looking at?" as you smile for the camera. Rivederci.
You gotta, if you keep on stealing Noel Coward's material, the estate's gonna come after you. The estate's gonna come after you.
Oh, heavens. Who didn't enjoy Cooter Rooter on Broadway? Yeah. Okay.
The musical.
A Cooter Rooter.
And finally, the headline is, what would Jesus do on spring break? I think we all want to know. A gentleman at Salon.com went undercover with a group of evangelical Christians trying to convert drunk partygoers. The following is an excerpt from The Unlikely Disciple, a sinner's semester at America's holiest university. He's here in Florida with a group of students from Liberty University, the Reverend Jerry Falwell's Bible Boot Camp for Young Evangelicals. He transferred there to learn more about his conservative peers. When March rolled around, he decided to do what many Christian college students do over spring break, take a mission trip to see what's what and who's who. We have Evil Uncle Chuckles, the Reverend Pat Robertson.
I'd like to thank my brothers and sisters in Christ from Liberty University for joining me tonight in our crusade to save the heathens from themselves. We're going to take our battle into the belly of the beast tonight, Daytona Beach, Florida. Froggy's Saloon, or Satan's own playground known as Spring Break, is taking place. Now, I have to warn you, young gentlemen, that the girls you will see in this cauldron of filth are not the demure, chaste, virginal creatures you see at Liberty University studying home ec in their burkas. No, these will be leering, lascivious harlots gyrating and writhing and getting all sweaty in the hoo. I don't know what that means, but it surely involves baring their breasts and perhaps even their nipples.
Ew, icky!
I see a hand. Oh, Brother Dobson.
Thank you, Reverend. I have an idea. I will lead all those sinners to the path of righteousness and take their minds off of sin and lustfulness, guided by the Holy Spirit. I can get on the bar with the naked girls, take off my trousers, and show them my penis. Like this.
To clear a room, I'll give you that. You may be on to something. It's hard to have lustful thoughts when you're sick to your stomach. In Jesus' name, I...
He's talking to God on the big white telephone there. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall,
check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. How the hell do you spell that? Who cares? Just go to the banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
John Fugel saying that's an actual tip from James Dobson's actual website on how not to raise one of the gays.
Gay your boys preemptively.
Yes,
yeah.
Is to show them your penis.
You teach them how to put square pegs in the round hole.
Comfortable with looking at that at eye level at an early age.
Roughhousing. Showing them your penis.
I still stuck.
I think seeing that could turn off anyone of any sexual persuasion from any sexual activity again ever.
Well, and Dobson naked would look like the letter Q, wouldn't it?
Only from the side.
Oh, boy.
I'm still stuck on the guys going to spring break to stop alcohol. If you read the Bible, Jesus is the leading cause of alcohol at parties.
Yeah.
That was just one big kegger.
Read the Bible, Christians. They're scared of learning about a real socialist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what's all your take on the AIG stuff? We had Liddy there yesterday.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the number one defense I'm hearing from the people who are wrong about everything, and by that I mean the vast right-wing AM radio media, right. You know, the people, just, when I say people who are wrong about everything, I mean the Bush defenders, the ones who are attacking Obama now. Don't forget these people who are wrong about everything, including the surge working, okay? And James Madison said, the primary purpose of government is to protect property from the masses.
Right.
Now, this was the last time a president told the truth about the economy, and he recanted that before he died, but it's still, you know, the deck is stacked. And we kind of know the government's not going to be able to track this down. This is like Bernie Madoff's money. The kids have got it buried somewhere, and, you know, they don't know. What I'm hoping that we see happen here with the stimulus, because more and more I'm in love with what he's trying to do in the with the stimulus package. Everything in it, from providing the internet to rural areas to making all federal vehicles be green and
right.
You know, what you're doing is you're actually trying to, in this case, giving the money to poor people. And giving the money to people who can't afford to save it or invest it, who will put it right back into the economy right away. It makes sense. It's long term. And everything that this guy's trying to do, and I'm not in love with Obama, and as far as Tim Geithner, I mean, having a tax cheat run the Treasury is kind of charming on an ironic level. I'm looking forward to Amy Winehouse's Secretary of Health and Human Services. Yeah. But, you know what? What I like is it's all about preventing long-term suffering for good business, you know?
Right.
What's the first thing they always say to you? If you had a time machine, what would you do? You have a time machine. Everyone, go back and kill Hitler. That's what everyone says. Go back and kill Hitler to prevent suffering.
Right.
I wouldn't kill Hitler because I'm anti-violence, but I would buy his paintings. I can't sell one painting. The Jews keep me down. Adolf, lay off the Jews. Put down the pamphlets. I'll buy this one. Ooh. You know, make him a successful artist. No one gets hurt. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what Obama's trying to do. He's trying to help prevent suffering. It makes perfect sense. And I think fascism is when big business makes you their biatch. Can I say that word?
Yes, sure.
And capitalism, socialism is when the government makes you their biatch. What we have here, capitalism, the beauty of our system is it's a never-ending fight of government and business trying to make each other their biatch. And who's going to be on the top bunk in the prison cell in Oz? And that's why I want to see...
this is an episode of Oz. It's getting ugly.
I want Obama to make Wall Street his bitch. I want him to just dress him up and tell him how to dress and say, where my money? And it's only going to happen through more regulation. AIG was completely preventable. And I was doing a show the other night with a fellow who said, well, the fact is, they were promised these bonuses way back in 2007. Yeah. So you really can't complain. It was just part of fulfilling a contract they had all signed.
Yeah.
It's like, that's before we were paying for
it. Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, and
all bets are off now.
I got to say, I'm so grateful that new Facebook proves Americans can still be outraged about something.
Yes!
Exactly.
Yes.
What was your take on this yesterday, Edward Libby, the AIG CEO?
I've asked the employees of AIG Financial Products to step up and do the right thing. Specifically, I've asked those who receive retention payments in excess of $100,000 or more to return at least half of those payments.
I'll do better than that.
Try that at your bank.
I'll give you a nickel on the dollar.
I don't have the mortgage, but I got a half.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Octomom to not have those kids she had. You know, it's...
Half? What does he think? He figures if he quells half the populist rage, it'll be okay?
Well, I mean, I'm still angry for all the people in New York who don't have cars and have to pay to bail out GM, you know? It's... The fact is that I don't see how they can get the money back, and I don't see why this should make Obama look bad. He's saying the buck stops with me on this. I mean, the fix is in. This kind of grift was going on long before he took the job, and they all knew. As soon as they got the money, they knew right where it was going to.
Mm-hmm. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the AIG mess and the brilliant subcomedian John Fugelsang as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour.
Yeah.
Comedian John Fugelsang on baritone. 1-800 651 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You can see John Fugel saying live.
Yes, you can.
He'll be doing it live in Los Angeles.
I'll be in Los Angeles tonight in a very hip room called the Fanatic Salon, which is at Sawtelle and where Venice meets the 405. And it's a super hip room with free wine. And I'll be throwing it down with some special guests.
¿Qué hora?
¿Qué hora es ocho? Like Ocho Mom. Sure.
8 o'clock. Okay.
8 o'clock tonight. And then next week, I'm here to tell you that I'm going to be headlining at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City on Wednesday, March 25th and Thursday, March 26th, along with the great Vanessa Hollingshead. And that's at GothamComedyClub.com.
And that will all be live.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Bill O'Reilly writes it.
Thing sucks!
Okay.
Where's America's sweetheart?
Zach in Washington. You're on with John Fugel saying about AIG. Hello, Zach.
Hello. Yeah, I would just wanted to comment on the quote you played from the president a little earlier about those who are feigning outrage about the bonuses. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to point out that it was it not Ben Bernanke who was in charge of those bonuses and the structure of the entire thing?
Yeah, he was involved. Geithner was involved. You know, so yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Well, and it's just it's kind of hard to swallow, considering the source, the outrage.
Who? The president?
No. Ben Bernanke.
He was
trying to convince everyone of how upset he was. He slammed the phone down 4 times. Meanwhile, people are losing their homes.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about how mad they are about a structure that they created.
Yeah, there's not much room left on the fainting couch. Oh. Okay, Edward Liddy, the CEO of AIG, John, finds it distasteful.
Had I been CEO at the time, I would never have approved the retention contracts that were put in place over a year ago. It was distasteful to have to make these payments.
Oh, I hate when there's poor taste during a recession.
Distasteful. You know, we've barely had the
people losing their homes, and this is poor taste. I got to.
We're too embarrassed to even ask people for their great poupon anymore.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to change the doilies around here. It's too upsetting to me.
Representative Barney Frank yesterday with Liddy.
I'm now asking you to send us the names of those who received bonuses who have not given them back. Can you do that?
Sir, I will if I can be absolutely assured that they will remain confidential.
Well, I won't give you that assurance, sir. And so if that's the condition, it would be my intention to ask this committee to subpoena them.
God bless Barney Frank. That's our money.
Yeah. I think they're a little concerned about mob mentality, the pitchforks and the, you know, torches.
Again, Americans are too upset about new Facebook to notice that.
I wanted to send a which Brat Packer quiz are you to all my friends, and now I can't. I'm at home alone, and I want to socialize.
There's the outrage. You think I'm kidding?
We just have a short attention span. The AIG executives yesterday. Now we're on to, I don't know, the latest American Idol or Octomom or somebody, you know.
Adam Lambert is weird. And the guy outside a Cure concert rode a speedboat to get his hair like that. Oh, what's AI watch? I don't listen to hip-hop.
28 minutes after
the hour. I
like
AIG on the Slumdog soundtrack.
Back with John Fugel saying more fake populist outrage as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, bitch, please. Take your line of bull down to the corner market and sell it there, because this five and dime isn't buying your line today.
Damn. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joined by comedian John Fugelsang in the studio.
Thank you.
Yes, Jim.
No,
you were saying
that's our core demographic, five and dimes.
Exactly. Thank you. Let's go to Vince in Chicago on the AIG mess. Hey, Vince. Hello, Vince. Tony, did you break the show already? Oh, dear. Let's try again. Sandra in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Steph. Love your show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The way I see it is, this is a contractual issue. You have two groups of people, the people that stayed and the people that left. Given that retention is supposed to keep right?
Yes.
Those left have defaulted. Those are very easy to recoup, that money. They have defaulted. Performance.
Yeah, well, that's, I'm just a layperson, Sandra. But, John, wouldn't your understanding of retention bonus mean that means you're supposed to stay when 11 of those people left? Yeah, they went bye-bye.
Yes, bonus.
They said
retention.
Thank you.
A lot of guys retain their bonus.
More than 4 hours, and
you need to
call your stockbroker.
But it's already too abstract for people. Like, people aren't angry enough about this. I don't think people are mad enough, and Americans just keep taking it. It keeps happening and happening. We're Rihanna with a flag. You know, that's what we've become.
Yeah.
We're just taking all this abuse.
I want all the money back. I want the money back for the Iraq War. I want the money back for the original TARP thing. I want it all back.
And exactly. I want some people to go to jail.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people
and that's something
that
Bush really dropped the ball on. If Bush had had one guy get let away in cuffs before he left office, he would have looked at least aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think Americans are going to really get it until people start being let away in cuffs, and not just Bernie Madoff, but some of the guys that are really responsible for this.
Yeah.
And I, as far as I view the economy, it's Bush and Cheney, we should seize their assets, because you break it, you bought it.
Yeah, exactly. Here's one thing I think we know for sure. As a professional comedian, friends should not let friends that are congresspeople make jokes. Representative Paul Hodes, a Democrat of New York, yesterday.
I think AIG now stands for arrogance, incompetence, and greed.
He wrote that.
That's awesome. That's great. Because you don't want to open with your strongest stuff. You want to save that.
Yeah.
And
for your big finish. All right, Representative Senator Olympia Snow, Republican of Maine, yesterday.
Well, I'm really surprised by, all of the outrage that's being expressed today. When in fact we could have done something about it to prevent this kind of situation.
Yeah, well, back when George Bush approved the AIG bailout, exactly. Even back then, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
they could have. Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, talked about the Treasury's job.
It was Treasury's responsibility to watch how these funds were being used. Obviously, they fell asleep on the job.
He's right.
Yeah, actually, he is.
I hate to admit that Republicans right, but he's right about it.
Yeah, yeah. Tim Geithner was not at the Treasury, obviously, when this was written, but, they were saying that he, along with Bernanke, was part of, negotiating it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
You got to get rid of Bernanke, Geithner, and Summers.
We like Krugman, and who else do we like? We want in immediately.
Robert Reich.
And Robert Reich. Mm-hmm. That's what we'd like. And I want a pony.
And Paris Hilton, because she seems to know how to make money doing nothing. So we could get her in there, too. The only way it's going to be solved is legalizing medical cannabis and investing in tattoo removal. Those are the only growth industries, folks. Just put all your money in tattoo removal.
And here it is for baby boomers.
Yeah, Valerie in Nevada.
Hello.
Hello.
I totally agree. I think the AIG bonuses are reprehensible. But I also agree that I don't think we're going to get it back. But if they have to be paid, I think they should get paid like how we got our bonus last year, entirely in $25 gift certificates to local businesses.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That way it would get back into the economy, so we might get a little back.
Yeah. See, Jim, that's what I gave you for Christmas. I gave you a Starbucks gift certificate.
Yeah, I think they should have gift certificates to Linens and Things and Circuit City. That would be...
There you go.
To record stores, if you can still find one.
Right. Tower Records.
John Fugelsang, what did you make of the whole Rush Limbaugh controversy?
It's kind of funny because I'm here to promote my new book. I've written a self-help book for unemployed people about Rush Limbaugh. It's called He's Just Not That Into You. And I'm a fan of Rush going back to his first book, The Way Things Ought to Be, which in German I think is Mein Kampf. And, Rush is trying to make himself the leader of the party, and it's fascinating to watch how he's going to lead the Republicans, because 2 weeks ago they had the big CPAC convention.
Yeah,
for those who don't know, CPAC is like Tupac, except it's white thugs. And and Michael Steele's walking around saying he runs the party, of course.
Right.
And I love black Republicans the way I love Jews for Jesus and vegetarians for meat. and then they had the presidential polling there to see who was going to run the party. And guess who won?
Romney, right?
Mitt Romney, yep, yep. Mittens, he came in, and that's great, because I love Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney does remind me of the very straight heterosexual men who go on Craigslist looking for dudes. You know, the guys who've really been through, like, half the guys in the phone book but still call themselves bi-curious.
They're curious.
That's I'm starting the Mitt Romney is gay rumor and calling him Catcher's Mitt. But he, yeah. And he was the most popular Republican with a whopping 20% of the vote.
Yeah.
So 4 to 5 people don't want him, and he's the most popular.
Yeah, that's the best they got.
And then second place was, of course, Bobby Jindalboy Governor,
uh-huh.
Who I love him. I don't think the series is going to be picked up for the back nine in primetime, but I love Bobby Jindal. I love that he's a Christian who favors castration for sex offenders. That's great. So he wants to cut off the same thing that the voters of Louisiana want to put in the governor's office.
Hey, and, ladies and...
And
whoa.
Sarah Palin came in third, tied with Ron Paul. So The party's in complete disarray.
Yep.
And Rush Limbaugh stepping into the void saying, friends, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Listen to me. And... this is a guy who was wrong for the last 12 years,
yeah,
the last 16 years. He was wrong on Whitewater. He was wrong on trickle down. This is the final proof that Reaganomics was a racket, and no one in the liberal media is stepping up to say so.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan is the granddaddy of all this, just like he was Saddam Hussein's sugar daddy, and no one's saying it. And now Limbaugh is making himself the buffoon of the party, and that's the irony, saying he wants Obama to fail. He's rooting for Obama to fail, and Obama's rooting for Rush to succeed.
Yeah, exactly, ironically. Rush Limbaugh yesterday.
The lynch mob is expanding. The peasants with their pitchforks surrounding the corporate headquarters of AIG, demanding heads. Death threats are pouring in. All of this being ginned up by the Obama administration.
See how clever they are?
I just love that it proves that an overweight white welfare guy can grow up to become a bloated drug addict felon.
It's a great country. It is a great country, indeed. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show.
Democrats are the ones who passed the stimulus package, which had this provision in it. And they had told us that the stimulus was so important for saving the economy that it had to be rushed into law before President's Day. Of course, leaving no one with any time to read it. So now they wake up, they read the bill that they had passed, and begin excoriating AIG and others.
Yeah, sort of like, I don't know, the Patriot Act?
Yeah, and FYI, Republicans obviously didn't read it either.
Yeah, well, yeah. But he's right, and this belongs to the Democratic Party as well. Mm-hmm. I am not a Democrat, you know, and it makes my life a lot easier, because when you become in a political party, you've got to defend politicians half the time. And
right.
I'm not into liberals and conservatives. I think those are words that the upper 1% uses to keep us fighting. I think sane people are both, and I believe in citizens and politicians. And I see right now that this bailout and the corporate bailout belongs to Obama as well. He voted for this back in the fall when we provided socialism for corporations. It's going to be a lot worse before it gets better, but I have so much faith that it's going to
So are you of the we shouldn't bail anybody out?
No, not at all.
Oh,
no,
school,
but,
okay.
But I'm not of the belief. I was against the bailout last fall for the very guys who'd ripped us off, you know. And when you say, I'm a big in favor of Obama's bailout. I'm so optimistic. I'm more optimistic than a guy trying to meet a straight girl at a screening of Watchmen, okay? I have a lot of hope. But, again, they keep throwing the socialist argument back at him. And the socialism. And I want to see the left take the word socialism and say he's not being socialism, he's being Christian. Because you will never find a greater socialist in literature or history than Jesus. He was the ultimate socialist. He drove the capitalists out of the temples. He said, pay your taxes. He was anti-family, pro-commune. He didn't own anything, and he gave out a lot of free health care.
Yeah.
Jesus was about as lefty as it comes.
Yeah, well, I don't see how, you know, and again, I always say the same thing. I'm not a financial expert, but I can't imagine how doing nothing would be a solution to this mess. I mean, you know, and I'm not, look, I don't know, like, you know, should we have let Lehman Brothers, should we have not, I don't know the answers to all that, but, you know, doing the same thing didn't seem to be an option.
I don't know how he's going to have universal health care. I mean, I don't know how he's going to be able to fulfill any of the promises he made for new programs, because I keep hearing about this, and I just think, where's the money, Lebowski? Where's it going to come from?
43 minutes after the hour. Back with more with comedian John Fuglesang and you as we continue on the AIG mess and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. We are joined live in the studio by John Fuglesang, where we overlook the ginormous line outside the Tonight Show, waiting to see President Obama tonight on the show. Longer than the Jonas Brother lines, ladies and gentlemen. And it is, he was out here for a town hall yesterday, and it is hot out here. You know what I'm saying? The president out in California.
Excuse me, I'm choked up with anger here.
Can I just say something? You make me so hot when you're angry.
I am so frustrated with this banking situation.
And we have so many nice ladies here. So they're really hot. There's a woman named
Stephanie Miller.
Oh! Alright, and I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take off my jacket if you guys are hot. It's awful hot. These folks have been in the lights, so they're really hot.
I waited 10 years for a new D'Angelo record.
I am so frustrated with this banking situation.
It's awful hot.
It's hot.
It's awful hot.
I want to take mine off too, but
oh yeah,
it's a lady's turn. I want to take mine off too, but it's a lady's turn.
I just love you. Okay.
It's a man's turn, and he's got the last this gentleman because he's big, and I don't want him to be mad at me. Sanchez. It's hot.
That's our buddy Sanchez and Montebello put that together for us.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I love Obama because you have to imagine how wonderful it is to pick up the paper for him and read how Congress approves of his massive package.
Okay, let's go to, who do we got here? Frank in Richmond, Virginia. You're on with John Fuglesang. Hello, Frank.
Hello. Hey, I agree with your guess. It's great not to be either a Democrat or Republican, because then you can make fun of everybody, right?
Yes, amen. Exactly. And we're always happy to throw Democrats under the bus here.
That's right. Well, you're not
look, the Republicans deserve it, but they're not in power anymore. So let's. The funny thing is, you guys missed a huge opportunity. I don't know if you saw Chris Dodd on CNN last night dancing around the fact that well, I put it in. I caved to the Obama administration because I was worried the whole bill would fall down. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was. I cracked up laughing, and then I got so mad I threw a brick through a window because I was like, wait a minute. Is he saying that Obama would have vetoed the bill if he didn't put that provision in there? Because he said he had unanimous support in the Senate for his initial language. So, I mean, you know, it was one, pitiful, two, hysterical, and three,
by the way, good job on choosing the window and not the television. That's a lot less expensive in this economy. Some people don't realize when you get really in a populist frenzy that won't always be on the TV, whatever currently making you mad, and then you're screwed.
Octomom will be on the TV within 30 seconds of whatever you're watching. So.
Okay, John in Sacramento on AIG. Hello, John. Welcome.
With regard to the AIG bonus contracts, I seem to remember that when the auto companies were seeking bailouts, there were immediate demands that contracts be renegotiated.
Yeah, by unions that had already made millions of concessions at that point.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely. Good point. You're the smartest boy in class. Okay. Who is not the smartest boy in class? Sean Hannity.
Day number 58, a false hope, loose change. What do they know and when? It's what everyone from Capitol Hill to Wall Street to Main Street were asking today. What did the administration know about the AIG bonuses and when did they know it? And if they're going to, you know, be taken at their word that they only learned about this last week, then why did it take so long for them to find out?
Hannity's fault. This is all Hannity's fault. These are the guys who are wrong about everything. They don't get to be angry now.
Yeah. Day number 58 of false hope. See how that's a little. He wrote that himself.
They get to beg us for forgiveness. That's what Sean Hannity gets to do.
Yeah. I didn't hear him screaming about this when George Bush is the one that put the AIG bailout in place.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Apparently Obama's term started last September.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Jim, here is Sean explaining once again why it was too much regulation that led to this.
We got into the financial mess because it was the government that demanded and forced through regulation, starting with Jimmy Carter, doubled down with Bill Clinton, that every American should own a home whether they can afford it or not.
Wait.
What? First of all, those two things don't make any sense.
No.
Secondly, it was Bill Clinton that signed the legislation that Phil Gramm put through, getting rid of Glass-Steagall, which caused this whole financial brouhaha to even be possible.
Right. And I seem to recall
it
George Bush opening his
liberal.
Big yap quite a few times about the ownership society.
Well, yes, that
and
was part of his whole thing. In 2002, he went on TV saying, well, see, it doesn't matter if you don't have the money. Go ahead and you can be in a big house just like anybody else. Then you own the debt. That's what I call ownership.
Wow. You know, I have to say, you know how, like, every day we would try to say one good thing about George Bush, even if it killed us? Did you see yesterday? He says he wants Barack Obama to succeed and it's essential to support the new leader.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
He's partying with the Rush Limbaugh-Dick Cheney wing of his party.
I think he had to.
Yeah.
I think he's around. He's out of the White House. He's allowed to read newspapers again.
Yes. Well, he also doesn't want to be extradited to The Hague.
Yeah, he says the new president has
Paraguay
enough.
Paraguay has no extradition treaty.
Exactly.
Bush family aquifer there.
Uh-huh.
He says the new president has enough critics and he deserves my silence. He said, I love my country a lot more than politics. I think it's essential he be helped in office.
We deserve his silence for the past 8 years.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, now he gives us his silence.
That's reparations right there.
More than 100 protesters chanted a war criminal and flung shoes at him in Calgary on Tuesday.
God bless the patriotic Canadians.
Yeah.
Of course, in Canada, shoes a hockey skate, so that's going to leave a mark. Yeah.
Everyone should throw their shoes at Bush. It's your patriotic duty to do it, you know? And that Iraqi should have known the one thing Bush was good at was ducking foreign journalists.
One of the protesters said he's a war criminal who fought an illegal war. There are some say he was never elected democratically. Yes, good.
Yeah. That's yes.
She said she brought with her a makeshift shoe cannon, but complained that security personnel were not letting her use it. Don't you hate that, when security personnel... rains on your shoe cannon
parade.
They're not
big on cannons in events like that.
Bush apparently, in the speech, conceded his administration spent its final days bailing water to keep the U.S. economy afloat. Huh! Which captain could have been driving the Titanic when we... He, however, he said the Obama administration should not let government become a substitute for the free market.
Well, of course, they'll fix everything.
His free market gets us there, and now we can't use government to get out of it. Okay. Let's go to Jonathan in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Sean Hannity's a fool, my friends.
Pardon me?
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, quick point. As you're talking about all of the TARP and the bailout crap that started back in September, that was Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
His name has not come up much. And here's a quick conspiracy quiz, Jim. Hank Paulson used to be the CEO of what Wall Street financial institution?
It was Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs, and who was AIG's largest counterparty in a lot of the scam derivative crap?
Yeah, you know, Elliot Spitzer was the one, I guess, that wrote this this thing about that's the paying off the counterparties. It's the whole scandal behind this.
I'm glad Elliot Spitzer is writing these columns, by the way. I think that they're so brilliant, they're so insightful, and it's really redeeming him. I'm so glad his story had a happy ending.
I can never get too much hooker humor. I really can't.
Well,
okay.
I'm sorry, but if you're paying a $1,000 an hour girl, you don't make her take Amtrak to go to D.C. It's a 45-minute shuttle flight. That's not good business.
Dave in Chicago on AIG. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hey, John Fugelsang. Great stuff. I like a comedian that can write on the fly like you're doing.
Steal it all from Larry the Cable Guy.
It's all on teleprompter. He's not...
Yeah. Plus people that get in the spotlight and get politically active. Like you were saying about George W. Bush, the responsibility comes down to him. He had a responsibility to keep the economy together for the returning soldiers so that they have something to return to. It's a good way to win the argument that George Bush doesn't have anything to do with the economy. You have to talk to the righties, like you said, about identifying with Jesus Christ. You have to say something that they identify with. Talk about the soldiers returning. They hear that.
Yeah. By the way, it's nice that they're finally doing something to actually help the troops instead of just, you know, screaming at other people about being troop haters. The Army will substantially reduce its use of the practice of holding troops beyond their enlistment dates.
But that's how Bush protected them from this economy. He kept them over there.
Yeah. Anyway, they're stopping the stop loss, which is basically a backdoor draft.
Going to
so
make
good.
Iraq the 51st state. They're home.
Yeah, exactly. All right, John Fugelsang, how do we find you?
You can find me on the Facebook. Send me your annoying quizzes. I'm on Facebook, and I'm going to be tonight in L.A. at the Fanatic Salon. Go to fanaticsalon@blogspot.com. That's on Sawtelle over by the thing. And I'm in Gotham Comedy Club next week in New York. And Chris Brown deserves to be passed around his cell like a blunt of the Source Awards.
Okay, thank you, John. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.